sing a lot about Jesus, and we sing a lot about the announcement of the angels. Let's sing page 259. 259 angels from the realms of glory. Let's stand together as we sing it. 259.
The newborn king. Let's begin our service with prayer tonight. Father, thank you so much for the newborn king. Lord, the son that was given, eternally existent. The first cause, Father, and all else comes from you. By him were all things created. That son that came into this world, Father, to enter into flesh and to take on us, or take on himself, our iniquities and our sins. Thank you for the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, through which we have hope. We have an eternal promise that God that cannot lie have promised unto us. That's eternal life. Thank you so much. Father, I pray that tonight just bring our hearts into a state of good focus and attention upon you. Lord, as we think about the things that are presented to us in song, Lord, the different specials, the choir, Lord, as we sing corporately, as we just did, to gather together to exalt Christ. Father, may this all just a high point of worship for you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you so much. Pastor, in his message, he made reference to Handel's Messiah and this song that Michelle and Melina Rogers are going to play, "For Unto Us a Child Is Born." Amen. For unto us a child is born. Beautiful. Thank you so very, very much. And four hands going on 88 keys times two. That's wonderful. Well, that's the message from the northern part of Israel, that Jesus is born. Now the choir is going to sing the message from the southern part of Israel about Jesus being born. Mary had a baby. Ain't that good news? God bless you. Case 251, it came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old. You'll sing so much better if you'll stand. Stand together if you will. 251.
It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song. Thank you.
caroling right after church, and you're all warmed up and ready to go, and you can go with us, right? Amen. You're singing so well. God bless you. You may be seated.
Warmed up. It's cold outside. Not really. I'm kidding. Don't jump on me. I've got Floridarized in my blood, though, and I'm glad of it. I'm glad that 55 degrees sounds like a cold morning to me. It is a great Christmas season, which means we got some things coming up this week you'll want to be a part of. So mind them. They're in your bulletin. Pastor's Christmas story and our Christmas Eve service will be this Thursday night, of course. That'll be at 7 o'clock. You'll want to be here. It grows a little bit every year. It adds a little element every year. But it's still got the same home place feel that it always does. You'll want to be here. Senior Family Fellowship, January the 8th. Also that evening, Friday, January the 8th. Will be our Christian film, Beyond the Mask. That's a fun, adventurous, exciting film. And the people that made it did a great job of it. One of the Ingram's daughters is it Leah? Is that who it is that's in there? And if you look quick enough and you know where to look, you'll see her. She's in there. And I think she won an Emmy for it. Is that an Oscar or whatever they get for those things? I'm not sure. Maybe she didn't win it. I'm kidding, of course. It's a good movie. You're going to enjoy that. Be here that evening as well. Missions Conference is coming up. It's right around the corner. Horizons. Some of you are worried about the money coming in today. If you want to give me the money today, feel free to do so. That's fine. The main thing I need to know is if you are going to the retreat. I need to know pretty quick here. Some of you, I mean, if you're on the line, you just found out about it. Give you a couple days, that's fine. But once Christmas hits, I don't really want to be, you know, calling and making plans and getting different arrangements. I want to really clear that up before Christmas. And once Christmas Day hits, it's Saturday, Sunday, and we leave on Monday. So we're leaving a week from tomorrow, so let me know as soon as possible. If you need more information, let me know. I can get you that information. I'm looking forward to it. We've got a good crowd going, but we want yours or your friends. If you got somebody that you'd like to go along, let me know. We'd like everybody that can and wants to be a part of that. Thank you.
It's always good to have visitors with us here at the home place. And good to have these ladies who are here this morning. Good to have them back with us tonight. And good to have a new couple visiting with us tonight. Good to have Mr. and Mrs. Benjamin Wilkerson here with us tonight. And that's a new couple in our church right back here. Got married yesterday. And they're not really new, but they're new as a couple. You're all supposed to laugh right there. Okay. Ha, ha, ha. Okay. Very good. Very good. But we say congratulations to them. And let's see. Pat, you have some folks here with you tonight. You've got a whole row of folks here with us tonight. Who? Tell us who they are.
My family. My son, John, daughter-in-law, Michelle, and my
girlfriend. Isn't that great? Wonderful. Good to have you all. Thank you so much. And thank you for being here. Anyone else? Anyone else visiting with us tonight? Any other visitor here? I see some of you have been here before, but are back visiting tonight. Delighted to have you, Dallas. Good to have your friends here with us tonight. Thank you so much for bringing them. And I just delighted to see you. I'm ready to go home and take my shoes off. I'm ready to relax a little bit. There's Christmas in the air, and I'm ready for a day off. I'm ready for a little time of relaxation and being together with family. And we're not going to have them all here at the same time, but they'll come in and then leave and then in and then leave. And I don't know that that's not better. But anyway, it's good to have them all together, but it's good to have them all here together at the same time, too. Merry Christmas. Ain't that good news? Ain't that good news? That's good news. What do we got now? We got another song?
Emmanuel.
Again. Oh, all right. Again tonight, the song we sang this morning. I love this song. And I want you to stand with me, choir and congregation. Sing it with me. Emmanuel.
God with us, revealed in us.
let's listen to the instruments one time. All right, y'all play it together. Here we go. Turn the lights down. Drop the instruments out. Turn it off, me too. Mic off. Just the lights off. Silent night. Without accompaniment. Silent night. Came into the place, they found Mary and her newborn babe lying in a manger. Let's sing Away in a Manger.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. The stars in the sky look down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay.
And thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Give us a chord and let's sing it unaccompanied now.
Emmanuel, Emmanuel, his name is called Emmanuel. God with us.
Just lovely. I think let's go to Orange Tree Village and just march through the streets, and then we'll go over to John Knox Village and we'll march down the streets singing Christmas carols and all that kind of stuff. Anybody ever done that besides me? Have you ever done that, been out Christmas caroling like that? Oh, not nearly enough of you. Not nearly enough of you. It's a wonderful experience. I remember we used to do that, and people sitting inside would watch them. They'd start looking at the radios, or they'd look at the TV and they'd adjust it. Something's wrong. We're getting some kind of interference. And finally they'd come to the door. I think yesterday you took some of the instruments and went out Christmas caroling with just the instruments. And George took some of the folks around and sang for some of the folks that are not able to be out and played. Did you sing at all?
Not me.
Not really? It's hard to sing with a clarinet in your mouth, isn't it?
All right, let's have the instruments play. The choir will come down and join with you. Greet those around you. Welcome one another to the service. Thank you for being here tonight. Thank you. You may be seated when you find your place. And I think we have special music right now from
Offering.
Oh, we're going to have some special music for the offering. All right. So, ushers, if you're ready, come forward, please, and we'll receive our offering for tonight. Now, if you all give us slowly, as these ushers are getting up to the front here, we're going to be here. We're going to be doing offering all night long. I'm going to tell you that right now. All right. Father, thank you so much for coming to this earth. Father, I thank you for the time of year that we remember that event. Lord, you have not told us. You did not choose to tell us in your book the exact day. And yet there's reasonable assumptions we can make because of the things you have said about who was in power and who was in ruling and what time it was in the history of this old world. But it really doesn't make any difference. The fact is you came, and we thank you for that. We worship you tonight. We give you praise and glory even in this time that we receive the offering. So bless it, Lord, and bless us. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
I'm going to ask my Horizons group, those that are prepared, and if you walked in unprepared and you're in our Horizons class, come on anyway. Now, Brother Mark came to me a little while back and asked us if we might do a little Christmas carol sometime in the Christmas season, and we said, absolutely. I said, absolutely. Their reaction wasn't quite as exuberant as mine, but 3 years ago, approximately 3 years ago, I had just gotten here. I'd been here for about 6 months. It was a little bit less at the time that all this began. Staff, we all began to talk about, you know, of course, they understood the situations that were in the church. I was still getting familiar with how everything was going, everybody's positions, places. One of the things that we saw as a need, of course, was our college young singles ministry. And it wasn't a matter of a lack of desire. It's not a difficult group to minister to, but it's a very transient group. They're here, they're gone, they're back, they're here. I mean, they travel, which is a great thing about this age. I told them that when he first began this. I remind them of it often, that the spontaneity of this time of life was one of my favorite things. I mean, you know, you call somebody up, hey, do you want to go to Florida? Sure, let's go. You know, and you get ready in 10 minutes and you leave and you don't tell anybody. That's kind of how this age is, and I enjoyed that, and I did that a lot, those kinds of things. That's fun. But it can make them, a little less predictable sometimes, but that's okay if you just enjoy the flexibility, and I'm geared that way, so it works well for me. But this time in life, and it spans a pretty good span. We've got solid 15 years covered up here as far as an age group goes. You'd be shocked to realize how many churches don't really focus and don't give much attention to this age group. And there is, I don't want to say there's a more vulnerable period of your life than this one. All right, let me rephrase that. I don't want to say that there isn't a more vulnerable period, but I'm tempted to. I just can't say it unequivocally. And here's the reason. You've been structured all the way up to 17, 18 years old the time you graduate. The career hasn't kicked in. Everything isn't settled. You don't have the wife, the kids, the house, the mortgage. Those are good things to be able to prepare for in that time. But it also sort of leaves this vague, what's going on, finding my place, you know, getting the education, learning the new job, where is it going? And a lot of times that gets lost in the mix along with spiritual direction. And the newness of everything, while exciting, can take you off guard. And I don't speak because this group has shown me that. I speak from experience. That was my experience. I just began to drift and wonder and kind of decide, well, maybe do I really want to do this? Do I want to pursue that? And it really was a crucial time in my life. And I can pinpoint one person, one evening, one individual that pointed it out to me. That was the time that I was really at a crisis in my life of decision. And I was either going to confront who I was to be, who God had made me to be, and my surrenderedness to Him, my willingness, I should say. He pegged me down, and I could call His name right now. A few people might know Him. One of my best friends in the world still to this day. But somebody paid attention to a young man who was 21, 22 years old, who had just decided, my time will come, I'll wait. And that becomes a very vulnerable period. So this group has been just an enjoyment for me. It's been very fulfilling, very exciting to be a part of this stage in their life. The double edge of the sword is they graduate from the youth group and then I get them right, you know, the next thing going. But I think they'll all say it's a little different, even with me. We treat things a little bit differently. We're able to have some fun and be flexible. So I'm glad for you just to get to see them and them to serve you again. Most of this group has served in song. In some way or another, some of them have traveled with the name of Volusia County Baptist Church plastered on the side of the bus. Yet still, when you say we're going to sing tonight, they go, what? But that's all right. They're spontaneous. So I decided to be spontaneous, too. I told them this morning. We're going to do away in a manger and just going to enjoy that, just our service to you tonight. And I know that you'll enjoy it.
Cattle are lowing, the baby awaits, but live. stay by my cradle till morning is up. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with thee there. And fit us for heaven to live with
thee. It's always fun to see the ones that are away at school and the ones who are in school here in the area, and see them come back and get together and enjoy one another. And what a blessing that is to see as a pastor. And some of them I still see as little kids, but I guess they are. But they don't feel that way about it. What the birth of Jesus means to us today. What the birth of Jesus means to us today. For these few thoughts tonight, for these few minutes, I want you to look in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1 tonight. I'm glad that Aaron didn't read Scripture tonight. This morning he read the Scripture, and he read the Scripture that I was going to preach from. So I guess that's good. And then this afternoon at the funeral, when I said, what Scripture are you going to read at the funeral this afternoon? He said, showed it to me. I said, well, you're going to read the Scripture again that I'm going to preach from. Okay, I guess that's all right. But I get to read the Scripture tonight, okay? Verses 18 through 25 of chapter 1 of the book of Matthew. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. Whenever the lineage is given here, Jesus Christ, the son of David, all the way down through in 14 generations, Abraham to David, and 14 generations from David to carrying away in Babylon, and 14 generations from the carrying away into Babylon to the Christ are 14 generations and the birth of the Christ, Jesus Christ, on this wise. When is his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph? Before they came together. The implication of that right there runs just directly against perpetual virginity of Mary. That was before they came together, indicating that there was a time that they did come together as husband and wife, but not until the baby was born. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. It's interesting that he identifies that part of his ancestry. Thou son of David. The ancestry is very direct and very provable down until that time. Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Seems to be not a conflict between calling his name Jesus and calling his name Emmanuel. It seems to just fit together very appropriately. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him Mary his wife, and knew her not, no physical marital relationship, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. What the birth of Jesus means to us today, particularly from this passage of Scripture right here. Number one, God rules in the affairs of men. Now, this absolutely does not conflict with any other doctrine that we make decisions. I like what John Phillips said. John Phillips said, it would be like a master chess player playing me in chess. And I look at the board, and I pick up a man, and I move it. And the master chess player, right there at that first move on the decision I make, he knows what the outcome is. He can see it to the end. And I may make moves, and I may do this, and I may do that. But the master chess player knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows exactly the way it's going to go. I mean, he knows what's going to take place when and what move is going to take place when. And if a master chess player can know that, certainly our God knows that. My soul, of course he does. But God rules in the affairs of men. He that ruleth over man must be just. Must be just. 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 3 tells us that. And the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and he turneth whithersoever he will. How else would you get an unsuspecting couple from Nazareth to Bethlehem without somehow having a situation that would... Now, God could have told them directly, but God manifesting his ruling in the affairs of men has a census and a taxation to be done that requires them to go to their hometown, not just in, it does not seem it was just in Israel, but in all parts of the world that Rome ruled over. They were required to do that. And so here, Mary and Joseph go off to Bethlehem because they were both of the lineage of David. I wish we had time to talk about the different lines. One was a moral line, that of Nathan, which the line of Jeconiah had a legal right to the throne, but did not have a moral right because God had condemned that line. But they had the legal right to the throne. But through Nathan, there was a moral right from David to the throne, and those two lines. Can you imagine? Met in Mary and Joseph. They met there until that child had a legal right through Joseph to the throne because he was of Joseph, not as a child of Joseph, but as the line from him, and the moral right through Mary till they meet together. And honestly, if Jesus is not the one, it's over. It's over. But he is the one. God rules in the affairs of men. And here, these two young people, without knowledge, I would guess, without knowledge of this important lineage, have come together in the will of God, have met each other, they're going to be married, and God is bringing this thing together. And then he moves them from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Now, I do not know that Mary would have been required to go because she was not the head of the home. And it would probably be only necessary for Joseph to go. So, why was Mary along? Tough trip. tough trip for a young woman that far along in bearing a child. Hard trip. Hard trip. I don't think Joseph could leave her in Nazareth. I don't believe what was going on in her life was acceptable in the community. And though they had heard the story, they didn't believe it. Why in the world, when they got to Bethlehem, did they have to go to a stable? That was their hometown. Certainly they had family there. But the family had heard what the situation was. Here's Mary with child before she's married. Not acceptable. Not acceptable. Lack of understanding and believing God. And yet, here they are in a place that is accessible to everyone. In a stable. And the shepherds are very comfortable there. They would not have been comfortable in a palace, but they were certainly comfortable in a stable. In that cave which had been made to house animals, that was part of their existence. That was part of how they lived. They were very comfortable there. They did not feel out of place at all in the most humble place you can imagine. They did not feel out of place. You wonder many things about the birth. Boy, nowadays, and I like it like this, boy, a young woman goes in a hospital to have a baby, and boy, everything is sterile, and you put on your mask, and you have on these gowns and everything like that. And I mean, you know, whenever our kids were being born, you men remember that. I mean, you were a carrier, and you just stay away. You just stay away. We had no part of that. Just get out of the room, get out of the place, go down the hallway. They wheel the bed down the hallway, and mother and the baby going down the hallway. They put you on the other side of the hallway, and you watch as they go by, but you couldn't get near. Now everybody's in the room and so forth like this. Whenever the baby's born, everybody begins holding it and passing it around and everything like that, you know. And that's a little different for me. I was able to be in the room. They started changing those things. Whenever Aaron was born, our last one, they started changing those things. And I was in the room. And I'd made up my mind. I wasn't too looking forward to that. That was kind of new. On the scene at that time. And it was new to me. And I'd made up my mind, I'm not going in there unless they invite me. And they came out to me and said, Mr. Reynolds, if you're going to be in here whenever this baby's born, you better get in here. I said, oh, yeah, yeah, you know, I'm right on that. I'm right there. But what an unsanitary place. What a horrible place. Really. With all the aromas that go along with a place like that. It's not the place you'd think to find a king. But God rules in the affairs of men. He does that. He guides that along. And He makes everything. You think about the wise men, the magi, the kings of the East, whatever they were. Whenever they saw the light in the sky, they could have just said, that's interesting. Wow, look at that. Isn't that amazing? But something in them said, that speaks of something. Seems like I remember, you know, whenever those Jews, whenever they were here, after Babylon, when we conquered Babylon, and they became part of our domain, And in our kingdom, they had scriptures that told about a king that was coming for them. And I believe there was a place that talked about a star appearing. I believe that's what that is. Let's go. Let's go. Here we go. Let's go to Jerusalem. Let's find out this great event. Who would have ever thought that what those Jews were talking about would actually come to be? Let's go see what's going on. And they did. God rules in the affairs of men. And dearly beloved, I know there's all kinds of things in the world today There's all kinds of stuff going on. Wow. Now, I know one thing. If I was God, I'd be doing things different than I see God doing. I'd do them different. But I don't always see from His point of view. I try to, but I don't always see from His point of view. But I do know this, that He's still working, and He still rules in the affairs of men. I know He does that. Regardless of what's going on with climate change, regardless what's going on with ISIS, regardless of what's going on with the coalitions in the Mideast and the coalitions in the Far East and the coalitions and the going in and out of the European Union and all those things and all that turmoil that's there. All of those things, all over the world, God still rules in the affairs of men. So, it's all heading in the right direction. It looks to us like everything's going wrong. But you can be sure of this. Everything's going right in God's plan. None of this has taken Him by surprise. Now, that brings me to the second point. And that is that God loves us enough to identify with us. He loved us enough then to become God with us. And He loves us enough now to take care of us no matter what the situation may be. I think we must understand. God is concerned about us physically. But that's not His primary concern. Our primary concern, generally, is our physical condition. We're comfortable. Temperature's good. Pain-free. Enough money. We're concerned about that. And it's right to be concerned about that unless that is the ultimate priority. That's not God's ultimate priority. God's ultimate concern for us is a spiritual concern. He's concerned about us in our spiritual being. That's why Jesus Christ came. Of all people who should have been in a place of comfort, in a place of ease, in a place of nice surroundings, when a baby was born, you would think it would have been Mary. You would just think it would have been. But we see from an earthly point of view. Now, it doesn't mean that God delights in bringing us physical problems. But it does mean that God will allow physical things to happen in our life that may be uncomfortable physically in order to develop us and bring us close to Him spiritually. Because that's His primary concern. And He loved us enough that He came to be one with us. It's still, at this point in my life, after all the years I've looked at this, and all the years I've read these scriptures, and all the years that I've walked through the prophecies, and I've walked through the fulfillment of the prophecy, it never ceases to amaze me that God would take on the likeness of those He created. But He did. Emmanuel, God with us. He came to be with us, to communicate to us, and to show His love for us. It's one thing for someone who is on a whole different level, even in this life, for someone who is on a whole different level to say to someone who is perhaps on a lower physical, economic, social level, to say, I love you. That's hard for someone to relate to that. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ on this level, we call it condescension. He lowered Himself in the form of God, thought it not robbery, not something to be grasped at, not something to be held on to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation. Now, if you want to understand how that works, let people, someone, or a number of people, could it be the majority of the world, say that you are worthless? That's what they say about our Lord. Made Himself of no reputation. Took upon Him the form of a servant, made in the likeness of sinful man. Being found in fashion, in that form of a man, He humbled Himself. Beyond that, He humbled Himself to that, and then humbled Himself beyond that, and became obedient unto death. Now, I know there's various ways of looking at that. Understand that. He came obedient to the point of death, but He became obedient to death itself. If you give death a personality, He became obedient to death. He obeyed death. Even the death of the cross, a horrible death. What love! Amazing love. How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Now, I know Jesus did not cease to exist. God didn't cease to exist for 3 days and three nights. I know that. No more than I'm going to cease to exist whenever I physically die. Whenever I physically die, I'm not going to cease to exist. God didn't cease to exist for 3 days and three nights. But that form in which He dwelt died the shameful and painful death of the cross. Why? There's only one reason, and that's His love. Again, this afternoon, in the service for Steve Jacobs, I said, if you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want you to open your eyes and look up at me, and I want to tell you something. And I know there's not a verse that says this exact thing, but boy, this implication in Scripture certainly is there. And as I said to them, I want you to know how much God loves you. And all across this audience, a great crowd of folks here this afternoon, people looked up at me.
I said, you'd have been the only person in the world, you individually. Now, God loves the world, but if you individually had been the only person in the world, Jesus Christ would have done what he did just for you. This love is mine, the old song says. John Peterson wrote the song. This love is mine, I cannot comprehend it. This love that revealed in Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, if you want to learn a lesson about God through the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, you learn this. God loves you. God loves you. I can't imagine having God say to me, I love you. And looking back at him and say, well, you know, I kind of like you. You say, oh, I can't believe anybody did that. Peter did. We do it all the time. God rules in the affairs of men. That's a lesson from the birth of Jesus Christ and what it means to us today. That God loves us enough to identify with us is a lesson from the birth of Christ for us today. I think we need to remember this also, and we say it all the time, but I say it because at this point it needs to be said again. I need to re-emphasize this, that God always keeps his promise. Somebody said, and I like the way they said it, tarry or wait close by the promises of God, because he always comes back by his promises. His promises are sure and steadfast. Oh, I know. People say, well, I'll tell you what, you know, God said this. Sometimes God didn't say what they said. That's what they want God to have said. It's not necessarily what he said. But God said this, and I don't see that he did that. He didn't keep his promise to me and so forth like that. Well, I don't know exactly what they're talking about, but I do know this, that God's promises are sure and they're steadfast and they'll never fail. Now, I think people mean by that most of the time, I told God to do something and he didn't obey me. I really think that's what they mean by that. And we get that thing all upside down. Somehow we get the idea that we're God and he's our servant. And I'm supposed to be able to tell him what to do, and he's going to say, yes, John, whatever you say, that's what I'll do. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that at all. He's the God. He is God on the throne. And he keeps his promise. Oh, there's somebody said there's what, 4,200 promises of God in the Word of God? Somebody would have a more precise number than that. And somebody figured it out. That's X amount for every day of the week. X amount for every day of the week. That's, 400 and some or 300 and some or whatever for every day. For every day, there's that many promises. No, there's 4,200 promises every day. Every day, every promise is sure, and every promise is steadfast. It may not always be exactly when we'd like it, but it's in his time, at his choosing, he keeps his promise. I like what it says about Lazarus, that old song about Lazarus. He was 4 days late, but he was right on time. 4 days late, we're out on time. From my perspective, sometimes he's late, but he's not. He's right on time. And I want you to know, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin. That's at the fullness of time, at the right time, at exactly the right time.
I mean, the people of the Old Testament looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and looked for the coming of the Messiah. But in the fullness of time, they lived looking for the Messiah. And they must have said in their life, as we say in our day, oh, I want to be living when Messiah comes. I want to be living when Messiah comes. And I hear, and I've heard preachers for years that I believe I'm going to be living whenever Jesus comes again. And they've died. They've died. Does that mean God didn't keep His promise? Of course not. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means they wanted to be living whenever Jesus comes. And some people want to be living whenever Jesus comes because they don't want to die. They won't go out in the rapture. They don't want to go through that death thing. I don't know. That's good. I vote for the rapture. I'm ready for Him to come tonight. But, you know, I'm not sure that death is not a wonderful, wonderful experience. I think of Steve Jacobs. I think of Nancy's mom. Can you imagine Nancy's mom? All of her life, death. And there in that room, she leaves this body, and the music of heaven bursts upon her, and she hears it. Can you imagine Steve Jacobs laying there, eaten up with cancer, suffering, and all of a sudden, He's whole. I want to say as long as I can. I'm up in years now. I don't know how long I'm going to be here. I don't know. My daddy made 95. My mama made 99. I'm going to live long enough to preach your funeral for acting like that. I remember David. I remember David. There was an old white-haired man sitting there laughing at me. I want to stay as long as I can. You know, I was. You say, I want to see my grandkids. I want to see my kids grow up. Then I want to see my grandkids. Now I want to see my great-grandkids. Then I want to see my great-great-grandkids, you know. But, one of these days, I want to leave this old life. I want to go home and be with Jesus. Amen. You know. Now, the Lord come, even so come. Even so come, Lord Jesus. But as long as He leaves me here, I just want to keep serving Him as best I can. If I can preach, I'll preach. If I can sing, well, if I can act like I'm singing, I'll keep on doing that. If I can tell people about Jesus, I want to tell people about Jesus. See folks get saved. What a thrill. What a wonderful thing. You know, I'd like to do it. I'd like to do it upright and standing in front of people as long as I can. I'd like to do that. I want you to learn from the birth of Jesus that God still rules in the affairs of men. I want you to learn that God cares enough about us and loves us enough to identify with us. And God cares enough about us to keep His promises. Every promise He ever made is sure and steadfast. Let's stand together.
Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet song. In your ear. May we live in such a way as that great preacher of the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, said. He said, I want to live in such a way. Whenever I look up to God and say, Lord, I love you, I want him to look back and say, Charlie, I know that. Oh, Father, you say, if you love me, keep my commandments. And your commandments are not grievous. What a joy it is to walk with you, to know you, to have fellowship with you. Lord, Enoch walked with you. One day he went home to spend the day with you. Since there's no night there, he's still spending the day with you, Lord. What a wonderful truth. I pray, Lord, that we'll live our lives, even at this time of the year, with somewhat of a grasp that you love us, that you care about us, and that in spite of everything that's going on, Lord, you're still in control. And Father, you do keep your promises. Thank you for that. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If God has spoken to your heart and you just want to come tell him you love him, or if you want to trust Christ as your Savior tonight, if you've never been saved, if you want to trust Christ as your Savior, I want you to just slip out of your place and come down here to the front. If God has spoken to your heart about coming and being part of this church, we invite you to that. They're going to play Have Thine Own Way, Lord, Have Thine Own Way. And we'll wait just a moment if God's spoken to anyone's heart here tonight and you need to respond. Right now. Right now. Anyone at all. Anyone at all. Okay. Thank you so very much. Thank you so very much. I believe if God has spoken to hearts, hearts would respond. I feel comfortable about that. Father, as we go from this place tonight, I pray we'll go with your joy in our hearts. I pray we'll go with love in our hearts for you. May we tell others about you. Lord, I thank you for the souls that have been saved in this building in the last couple, 3 weeks. I thank you for that, Lord. And I pray, Father, that it'll not just be at this time of the year, but all through the year, in this building and in our daily lives, as we go about our work, in our neighborhoods and everywhere we are, may we speak to others about you and your love for them. In Jesus' name, amen. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. And I hope you'll be back Thursday night. If you can at all, be here. We'll have a good time together. And then, of course, don't forget Saturday with the memorial service for Nancy's mom. And I hope you can be here for that at 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock Saturday, the day after Christmas. God bless you. You're dismissed.